those promises, we can trust them to be true. I did read from two different sources recently that there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible from God to man. Now, that's a lot of promises, and even more amazing than that is that not one of those promises has he ever broken. Not one promise has he ever forgotten. Another way of saying that is this: every promise from God to man, he has kept. Now we could point to the promises that have to do with the second coming of Christ, and yes, they have not been fulfilled yet, but we can trust that they will be fulfilled in his time. Because all of those other promises that he has made have been kept, we can trust that those promises having to do with his second coming will be kept as well. Our God and his son Jesus are in the business of keeping promises. I love the song from several years ago, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, what? Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness. My God, that is who you are. He is indeed a promise keeper, always has been and always will be, praise the Lord. He is worthy of our trust. I have several verses that I want to read to you just to support that what I've just said, that God is worthy of our trust, that his promises are true. First, I'll read some verses from the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. It says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? The implied answer is no. Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. This is Joshua speaking to the people of Israel. He says to them, soon I will die, going the way of everything on earth. Deep in your heart, you know that every promise of the Lord, your God, has come true. Not a single one has failed. Wow. That's quite a record. In baseball, and I'm a baseball fan, so this was intriguing to me to think about. In baseball, if a batter has a 300 average, that's pretty good. And 400 is almost unheard of. In fact, in 123 years of Major League Baseball, only 48 batters have hit 400. And it hasn't happened since 1943. Now, if you're here in this audience and you are in your mid-80s, and we may have just a handful of those people, that means that you were just about that tall when the last player hit 400 in baseball. You may remember George Brett with the Royals in 1980, came close. He batted 390 for the year. But let's keep this in perspective. As good as George Brett was that year, that's still less than four hits for every 10 at-bats. It's far from perfect. I did some other research. LeBron James in basketball, for his entire career, he has hit only 50.7% of his shots. That's really good in basketball, but in reality, he's only hitting half of his shots. The other half, he complains that he got fouled. Now, in football, Tom Brady, he has 7 Super Bowl rings. He only connected with his receivers on 64.3% of his passes. And that is really good, but it's far from perfect. And for you that are Chiefs fans, I did some comparison with Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. You'll be pleased to know Patrick Mahomes is a little better than Tom Brady in his percentage of completed passes. He's 66.2% in connecting with his receivers. And we know there's been a lot of passes dropped over these last few years. As good as Patrick Mahomes is, as good as Tom Brady was, they're far from perfect. Our Heavenly Father, hear me say this, He is batting 1,000 on telling the truth. He is 100% on keeping His promises. It is impossible for Him to lie. How about this verse from 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56? Praise the Lord who has given rest to His people Israel, just as He has promised. Not one word has failed of all the wonderful promises He gave through His servant Moses. One more promise, or one more verse from the Old Testament about God keeping His promises. In fact, this is God speaking Himself. Psalms 89, verse 34, He says, "No, I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word I said." What about over in the New Testament? There's verses that have the same message. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. How about this from chapter 6 of Hebrews, verse 18? So God has given both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Did you get that? We can have great confidence that what God has promised, we will do, or He will do. One more passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. Isn't that wonderful? It is a very consistent message throughout Scripture. The promises of God are true and dependable. So what I want to do for the remainder of this sermon is choose one of those promises and focus on it, and I think we'll all be encouraged by it. The promise that I want to look at is one of my favorites, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Reading from the New International Version, and I would encourage you to become familiar with this verse. Mark it in your Bible. Highlight it, because it's a verse that can help you in the days ahead. It says this, "So do not fear, for I am with you." Didn't we just sing a song a little bit ago about not fearing? Yeah, we did. God's saying, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I was thinking back to the first time that I really focused on this verse. I was getting prepped for surgery. I was probably in my early 50s. I was very used to being in the pre-op room, but never the one in the bed. I was used to being in the pre-op room for somebody else who's going to have surgery, and I would be there just to encourage them, to pray with them, to give support to them during that time. But this time, I was the one in the bed. and someone had given me this verse on a piece of paper, I carried it with me into the pre-op room, and I read it over and over again. It was very helpful to me as I faced surgery that morning. Do not fear, the verse says, for I am with you. You know, it's easy for us to fall into fear and worry. God says, don't do that. Don't give in to fear and worry. The reason being, he says, I am with you. The eternal God of the universe promises to be with us, and he will keep that promise. He will never abandon us. In fact, the very last words of Jesus as he's getting ready to go into heaven, his last words to his disciples, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Whatever we're facing, be it great or small, we can be confident that he is with us and there is nothing greater than him. Amen. I love the story from 2 Kings chapter 6 where Elisha's servant wakes up early in the morning to find that the entire city is surrounded by the Aramean army. Every direction he looked, there were horses and chariots and enemy soldiers. And in fear and panic, he awakens Elisha and says to him, "Oh my Lord, what shall we do?" In chapter 6 of 2 Kings, this is where the story is found, verses 16 and 17. This is Elisha's response back to him. So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Isn't it interesting? The first thing Elisha said to him was, "Do not fear." Now, if you remember, last week, Elijah mentioned this very story in his sermon. And I'm sitting down here and I'm thinking, oh my, because I already had this sermon written. And he's talking about the same thing I'm planning to talk about. And I'm thinking, maybe I need to change my sermon. And then it dawned on me, no, maybe God's wanting us to hear this. And Elijah he looked at it from a little bit different angle than what I'm looking at it today. His angle was, the Lord will fight for you. Yes, that is true. What I'm looking at it today from is simply, do not fear, because God is with you. And I think it is a message that we need to hear over and over again, because we come into circumstances in our life that we are so tempted to give in to fear. We're tempted to give in to worry. And God says, don't give in to fear and worry. He says, do not fear. I'm told 365 times in the Bible we are told not to fear. Did you know that? Once for every day of the year, God is telling us to not fear because he is with us. And maybe we should pray for ourselves that very prayer that Elisha prayed for his servant. He said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And maybe that's the prayer we should pray for ourselves, that God would open our eyes to see the truth of His presence, and that He is greater than any army or obstacle that we face. We really don't have a reason to fear. Like you, I've got multiple copies of the Bible, some in my office, some at home. And I was looking at my Bible at home, this passage from Isaiah, and I had a date written in the margin next to this verse. And the date was 8/13/20. And beside that date, my sister Debbie's name was written, and the letters RPD. You know what those letters stand for? They stand for rapidly progressive dementia. And my sister was diagnosed on that date with that disease, rapidly progressive dementia, and that was after a summer of her being in and out of five different hospitals, and she never did go home during that time. When I say in and out, I mean she went from one hospital to the next hospital, five of them over the course of that summer. She ended up at Barnes Hospital in St. Louis, and that's where they diagnosed her with rapidly progressive dementia. And in just that short of a time, it seemed like we had lost my sister to a mental disorder. Oh my. And if you've been around here for a while, you may remember that Sunday I stood up here and I told you what was going on with her, and I cried my eyes out. It was a very hard summer and time and in our family's life. And you know what? This verse from Isaiah was my go-to verse through that whole time. And God was saying to me, Kevin, don't fear, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And thank God, praise God, He did a miracle with my sister and brought her completely out of that back to herself. And the doctors at Barnes Hospital had no explanation for it whatsoever. But that was a time in our life that was very difficult. It was tempting to give in to fear and worry. And this promise, the truth of this promise, carried me through that hardship. And I should say it this way, He carried me through that hardship. He is faithful. And really, for you may not know this, for the last couple of years, our family has dealt with several different issues. I'm speaking not just of Cindy and I, but our extended family, her side and my side as well. We have been dealing with physical stuff. We've been dealing with mental stuff. We have been dealing with spiritual stuff. It seems to have been one attack after another from the enemy. And again, we are trying to trust God through these hardships. You know, the alternative is not a good road to take. The alternative to trusting God is to fall apart, is to give in to anxiety, to buckle underneath the load. And I can testify to you, as we have gone through these hardships in our life, as we have sought to trust Him, He has been faithful in carrying us. He has been faithful in keeping his promise. I can testify to you, he never will forsake us. Now, I will say things have not always been quote-unquote fixed like we've wanted them to be fixed, nor in our time frame. And I don't know. Some of it will never be fixed, maybe. But we have made a choice that we are going to trust him. Even when things don't go our way, even when the prayers aren't answered the way we're asking for them to be answered, we are going to trust him because we know that there is no other way that's good. He's carried us. He will continue to carry us. And you know what? He will carry you. As you go through hardship, your responsibility, my responsibility, is to trust him. To trust him. That's what we're talking about for the whole year. He will uphold us with his righteous right hand. Whatever it is that we are going through, he is greater. He will not forsake us. And so there is no reason to fear. There's another passage in Isaiah that I especially like. It has an equally encouraging message to it. I want to read it to you. Chapter 43. And again, this is a verse that has helped me. I want to encourage you. Mark it down. Highlight it in your Bibles. Because it could be the verse that will help you when you are in a troubled time. Chapter 43, verses 1 and 2, God speaking, he says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." I was looking back through Scripture just to see the number of people that God told not to be afraid. Now, I preached to you recently on Abraham, and he was the first to hear those words from God's lips. He received that message from God. "Don't be afraid, Abraham. You and your wife, Sarah, are going to have a baby in your old age. And from that baby, there will be descendants that will number the stars of the sky and the sand that is on the seashore." And God was faithful in keeping that promise. And Elijah preached last week on Moses and the people of Israel. They're standing on the banks of the Red Sea, the water behind them, and there's Pharaoh's army coming at them with all of their strength and armor, and Israel didn't have one weapon in their hand. And Moses receives this message from God: "Do not fear. The Lord will fight for you." And you know the rest of that story. He had a similar message to Joshua as he was getting ready to go into the promised land, and there were going to be all kinds of battles that he would have to fight. God said to him, "Do not fear. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I mean, this message is over and over again in Scripture. Any time that we have God on our side, we are the majority. And we have reason for hope. So let me ask you, what battle are you fighting in your life. If it's a health battle, do not be afraid. The Lord's righteous hand is enough to carry you through that. I mean, whatever it is, His hand is enough to carry you through that. I was visiting with Buffy Eskridge a few weeks ago, and Buffy, she's been on our prayer lists for a long time. She's fighting liver cancer, and it's progressing. And Buffy's pretty young. I mean, she's several years younger than me. She's probably in her early 50s. And she's fighting liver cancer, and they've just adopted a little 5-year-old girl. And that little Catalea, she needs her mom. And here she is fighting cancer to the liver, and she's had pneumonia. She's been fighting pneumonia, I bet, for 9 months. And she spent the last probably 3 weeks in the hospital with that, and they're finally thinking that they're getting on top of that and that it's gone from her body. But she goes home from that kind of a struggle to face cancer treatments. You know what Buffy said to me? She looked me in the eye and she said, "I am not afraid." Now, that doesn't guarantee that things are going to go her way. She knows that. She says, "I am not afraid because God is with me." And that's the kind of faith I'm talking about. Let me ask you, are you fighting the battle of loneliness? Do not be afraid. He is with you. The Lord your God will strengthen you and uphold you with His righteous right hand. Maybe your battle is against an addiction or a particular sin. Do not fear. Be strong and courageous, the Lord says, because I'm going to be with you wherever you go. I mean, how can we lose if we're trusting in these promises? The one that Elijah preached on last week that says, the Lord will fight for you. And the promise that I'm preaching on today, don't fear, I will be with you. How can we lose if we trust Him to be speaking the truth? I'm sure you remember the Peanuts gang, don't you? Charlie Brown and that gang with him. Do you remember Linus? There's Linus. He's usually always in a striped shirt. He's a nervous kind of guy. He's always carrying that blanket around. And people would try to swipe the blanket from him. Snoopy would try to get it, and Sally would try to get it, and Lucy, they'd all try to take it away from Linus. But no, that isn't going to happen because he's got his hands clutched to that security blanket. And you can make fun of Linus, but nothing is going to make him let go of that blanket. But then comes the Charlie Brown Christmas. Do you remember it? It's the play. And somebody's got to get up for the school play and tell the story of Christmas, Jesus. And who is it that gets up? Well, Linus is the one that gets up. And he tells the story of Christmas, of Jesus and His birth. And he does that by quoting from Luke chapter 2 from the King James Version. This is Linus. This is what he says. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And if you'll go back and watch Charlie Brown Christmas, the very moment that the angel says, "Fear not," he drops the blanket. And the story of Jesus. That's what Jesus can do for us. We can be hanging on so tight to our fears and whatever it is that has us in bondage. But Jesus, the Prince of Peace, when we understand that He has come to this earth to free us from our sins and to be our Savior, we can let go of the fear. That's my encouragement to you today. Turn to Him. Take refuge in Him. Give your burdens and your fears to Him. And let His peace be yours. Let's pray.